Well, hello, everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who's joining us here for our weekly broadcast this week with Dr. T. You know, as you know, Tuesdays are guest days where we invite special guests, Christian authors, businessmen or women, or pastors, or different types of movie makers, even Christian movie makers, to come in and talk with us, share their wisdom, talk about the Lord, and to pray, and so that we can pray together. And I hope by now you've all joined the Tenpenny Prime membership that we started the first part of the year. If you are a regular membership and you've been part of our member, one of our members for a long time, you don't have to do a thing. Nothing has changed. You can go to your membership portal at drtenpenny.com. If you'd like to join us and support our work and all the things that we do that we can do for free and all the different broadcasts that we put on X and different things like that, please become a member by going to shoptenpenny.net, shoptenpenny.net, hover over the membership tab, and you can see all the different benefits that you get as a member. There are three educational programs that you get every month as a member, a topical white paper that I write. It's usually about 15, 20 pages, a recorded PowerPoint presentation that goes into your portal that you can watch on your own time. And then the third Wednesday of the month, we do a live broadcast with the Ask the Expert. Each month is a topical related thing. In January, we did Thyroid Awareness Month. February, we did cardiac. This month, in March, we did GI health. In April, we're going to do reproductive health, and we've got a whole year planned out for you. So you can see that, and all that is part of your membership. All the podcasts that we do now on a weekly basis are available in all the places that you watch them, on Rumble and on iCloud, on Cloud Hub, on our show, on X, all those different places. They stay out there live. But you can, with no expiration date on those podcasts that are out there published live. But if for you things, for specific things for you as a member, you can find it shoptenpenny.net or at drtenpenny.com underneath the membership tab. And you can be part of all the things we're doing. We're trying to make 2025 the year of knowledge, empowerment, and action. So thank you for your continued support. We really want to thank you so much. You provide a big blessing to all of us by taking time to participate in our membership. So before I introduce to you today's special guest, Joseph Baker, the founder of Author Speaker Success, we're going to take a really short break. He has a really kind of a big announcement that he wants to make about the changes in his company and how they are moving their company to work more for the Lord. We're going to take a really quick break. You don't want to miss this really good discussion. We'll be right back. Zeolite is a detox spray. We work specifically with a company called Touchstone Essentials. They are an incredible company. We've been working with them now for several years. And zeolite is a mineral that goes through your body like a one-way basket. It will clean out heavy metals such as arsenic and mercury, aluminum, cadmium, and it hooks onto those metals from a one-way perspective. So once it's bound, it goes out through your urine or your stools and doesn't get redeposited in other places. Everybody needs to have a detox product in their life, and this one is so easy to use, and it's so safe. You can take it when you're pregnant, you can take it when you're nursing, you can give it to little children, you can even give it to infants, and quite frankly, I give it to my dog. I actually put a little bit of the zeolite in his water, because until we all stop living in a toxic world, we all need to get some of those extra toxicities out. The heavy metals, the persistent organic pollutants, the things that are floating through the air, the different things that we come in touch within our environment. And we are a big fan of zeolite from Touchstone Essentials. We've been a big, big, big fan of their products for several years. Go to drtenpenny.com/detox to get your first bottle of zeolite spray for $50 off. Welcome back, everyone. Thank you for being here today. Joseph Baker is a kingdom-minded communicator with a heart for equipping others to step boldly into their God-given calling. For over 20 years, he has served both the ministry and the marketplace as a writer, speaker, marketer, event producer, and worship leader, always with a passion for advancing the gospel. He is the founder of Author Speaker Success, a Christ-centered program that empowers aspiring authors and speakers to build platforms that glorify God and can make them a lot of money. You know, there's a lot of us that do so many things in terms of educational and giving back, either for the Lord or secularly, that we do for free. And his business helps you to monetize those efforts. Originally from San Francisco Bay Area, Joseph now lives in Dallas, Texas, where he's raising three young world changers with his life, with his wife. And I just love that. I think that's really super cool. So Joseph, welcome so much to Happy Hour with Dr. T. It's a pleasure to meet you and thank you for being here.
Thank you, Dr. Tenbin. It's an honor to be here today and I look forward to adding value to your audience.
Thank you. You know, you come from a really broad and diverse background. You know, I watched the videos and I read a lot, as much as I could find. You're a little hard to track, but as much as I could find about you on the net. But you have had a very broad and diverse background. Why don't you tell our audience a little bit about your journey?
I will. Thank you. And I'll even start with a comment on what you just said. You know, one of the reasons that I'm a little hard to track is because most of my life, I've made it a point to be a producer. I work behind the scenes. I have a passion for promoting other people. It's kind of just the way that God made me, whether it's within the church or within the marketplace. That is my greatest joy, is to see the light bulb go off for someone and for them to see the possibility of how they could build a platform to have a voice, you know, again, both in the ministry and the marketplace. So to go back in time, I grew up in the San Francisco Bay Area. My dad was a pastor of a church. He pastored a church there for 27 years. So I grew up as one of those kids that's always hanging out in the background at church and, you know, sometimes getting in trouble, but most of the time, you know, I was pretty well behaved. But, you know, fast forward, I followed in my dad's steps when it came to occupational ministry. I became a worship leader for a church, ended up doing that for about 15 years at various churches, mostly in California and some in Texas. And throughout that time, you know, if anybody's listening and is familiar with occupational ministry, sometimes it doesn't pay the most. And so you end up having a side hustle or a side gig or a side job oftentimes to help pay the bills. And so for me, I began to be asked to build websites or create videos or record podcasts. And so I began to get into the tech side of ministry at the time, and also even had some business leaders at the churches that I was at would ask me to come and, hey, could you build a website for my company? Could you, you know, do this technology-driven thing? And so that became a part of what I did. And then fast forward, you know, a handful of years later, I began working for a traditional book publisher, and that opened my eyes to the world of publishing. And that was sort of the last piece of a puzzle that I was putting together, I realized, over the years, where I had become a videographer, I'd become a speaker, I'd become a marketer, I'd become somebody that could do websites and really build out advertising and stuff like that. But I didn't know much about book publishing up until, you know, a handful of years ago. So once I began to get deep into that world and worked with a lot of Christian business owners and Christian thought leaders, authors, speakers, it really was amazing because I realized, okay, this is the missing piece. This is the piece. If I could understand book publishing and live production and marketing and video, et cetera, it really gave me a well-rounded skill set so that fast forward to today, I now run what's called Author Speaker Success out of Dallas, Texas. And so we get together twice a year for a meeting that we have here in Dallas. And then we also meet online. We have an online community that's thriving. And so I help authors and speakers build the platforms around the message of their ministry. Again, whether that's a message for the church or whether it's a message for the world or whether it's a message that crosses over to the marketplace, I help them build all the pieces around that. Because oftentimes you have an author and they have a message. It's from God. It's from their own mind and their own study and their own experience. But they may not have those skill sets to go around that, to build the platform. And I use that analogy of if you go way back in time before the internet and before video and before sometimes even the radio, they used to build actual soapboxes out in the public square. You would flip a soapbox over and you would stand on it and you would begin to speak loudly to get people's attention. And so I joke that now I just build the modern soapbox for people. I help them, you know, get their voices above the crowd and get their message out to the world.
You know, you have a lot of success stories, you know, on your website, you know, people that have gone from doing everything for free to making, you know, $100,000 or more a year doing something that they really enjoy and getting a message out in lots of different genres. But you have recently decided to take your company in a little bit different direction. Talk to us about that new direction and how that decision came about.
Yeah. So when we really formalized author speaker success, this was after I had left that traditional publisher and went out back into my own business full time to focus in that arena. You know, the people that were naturally drawn, I guess, to me and a couple other leaders on my team, they happen to be believers. And that's not surprising to me because I'm a believer and I've worked in the church world for so long. But after it just became person after person after person, and we began to even have discussions at our events like, hey, maybe we should do a chapel service and have a time of prayer and have a time of worship. And I also realized online, as we are meeting on a weekly basis on Zoom calls and creating content, you know, the conversations, they have a spiritual undertone. You know, we can't help it as believers because God is such a big part of our existence. It's such part of our lives. We can't really even talk about things like success or carrying a message to the world without acknowledging the fact that all of this comes from the Lord. The wisdom comes from Him. The inspiration comes from Him. The energy comes from Him. And ultimately, the power of distribution comes from Him. I've worked with some people where they've produced things in the past where they've just fallen flat. And now what we're trying to do is not only rely on our skill sets, but rely on the power of prayer and rely on the power of asking God to bless our projects. And so we actually wanted to have a freedom in that kind of culture. And so we made a shift just recently where we said, you know what, we're actually going to be officially a faith-based group. Now, we would not turn anybody away, of course, if somebody wanted to join our group, but we would be very upfront about that and say, hey, if you join our Zoom calls, you know, just so you know, this is a faith-based group. We're very open about the fact that we are empowered by Christ, you know, to do what we do. And so I have authors in my group who write for the church. They write for ministries. They write for nonprofits. I have a lot of leadership focused people in my group that also do workshops and consulting and coaching in the marketplace. But we're enjoying that kind of newfound freedom just to kind of be ourselves and be Christians and be good with that.
You know, it's a big genre. I mean, there's a lot of Christian writers and a lot of Christian bookstores and online sort of things. But at the same time, I've found it from writing my own, you know, my own Christian book on walking with God. You know, you guys have probably seen it. A lot of you, hopefully you've purchased it, you know, on Walking with God. It's a big arena, but it's kind of a closed book. I mean, it's hard to make headways into publishers and distributors and even writing articles and placing articles in various magazines and things like that. Do you have any insight into that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, the best way to market anything, and this is across the board, by the way, it's not only with books, but it works for authors fantastically. The best way to really market anything is to get a hold of somebody's already established existing audience, where that person or entity has already spent the time, money, blood, sweat, tears, advertising dollars to gain the trust of a group of people. And the best thing to do is to joint venture or partner with that person. And so I teach my my constituents in my group, I teach them marketing strategy, which is really important. And it obviously works in the faith-based world as well. So for instance, there's a great conference called the National Religious Broadcasters, which happened to be in Dallas just a few weeks ago. And we timed our author speaker success event so that authors could come to our event. And then we talked to them about these strategies. And then we went the very next day into that event where there were hundreds and hundreds of ministries and podcasts and live TV shows and distribution channels and publishers and marketers and all these kinds of people. And we actually encouraged them to go around the room and make relationships and find people that have already taken the time to build an audience and figure out if your message, if the message of your book, for instance, can actually be a blessing to that audience. And the reality is a lot of these people that build platforms, you would understand this, you've built a great platform. You're looking for other people, other experts that may have expertise that you don't necessarily have because it adds value to you. It adds value to your audience. And you're willing at times to bring those people into your ecosystem and share your audience if it feels like a good relationship that's going to benefit all parties involved. There's also some tactical things you can do. Like I mentioned, the idea of joint venturing. That means that I can go and partner with someone that already has an audience and then let them know, hey, if somebody buys my service or product that I'm offering, I'm actually going to offer you a piece of that as a thank you, as a commission for exposing me to your audience. Those situations are even better because Obviously, the hosts and the owners of those platforms are even more incentivized, of course, to bring you on because they're participating in the upside. And so I would say that's actually a great place to start for a lot of people. If you're looking to launch your podcast for the first time, write a book for the first time, you want to speak on stages and be paid to do that, the best thing you can do is to go and partner with people that already have audiences, because oftentimes it doesn't cost you anything and everybody can benefit.
That's really good. You know, I spent some time yesterday speaking to a gentleman that's kind of in my world, meaning that he's a physician's assistant, and he was all the way through COVID, he had taken copious notes and made a lot of blog posts. And when he printed it all out, it was 70,000 pages. And then he thought, well, I can just take these 70,000 pages and make it be a book. And I said, I don't think that's quite how it works. And, you know, and he was struggling with some different things. And I asked him if he had ever worked with a ghostwriter or a really good editor, because everybody needs an editor, not everybody, even the world's best writer. You can't, your eyeballs read past things that you just can't see. How does someone go about choosing or finding a really good ghostwriter? And what sort of things would you look for if you're looking for someone to help you? Because, you know, writing a blog or writing a Substack or writing an article, it's a really different animal than writing a book. People do that for a living. How would they find a really good ghostwriter?
That is a great question. You know, so first of all, finding a ghostwriter, the best way to find one is by referral, asking around to your social circle, asking around to other authors that you've worked with, and then asking around in the publishing world. Obviously, most publishers, whether they're self-publishing, hybrid publishing, or traditional publishing, they have usually a wide variety of ghostwriters in their Rolodex. And so, for instance, I've got a guy on my team who's a ghostwriter. And I would say the main thing to be looking for, you know, is that you don't want to lose your voice. Okay. So you want to find a ghostwriter that has enough wisdom and skill to still capture the essence of your voice, but then has the ability to put it in that book form, right? That makes sense for the marketplace. The other role that you mentioned is the role of the editor. And I've got an executive editor on my team as well. And, you know, his name is Jerry. And I'll just say, you know, Jerry's one of the kindest, most Christ-like people I've ever met. And I didn't realize this until I was in the traditional book publishing world for a while, that, you know, your editor kind of becomes one of your friends over time. And you go back and forth chapter by chapter, you know, and like you mentioned, sometimes it's line by line. Usually that's a line editor. It's a little bit different of a process down the road. But, you know, you have to develop a relationship. So the other thing to look for is not only can this person capture my voice, but do I like this person? I know that sounds kind of funny because you're hiring a professional service, but at the same time, you're going to have to go back and forth, back and forth. Your ghostwriter needs to respect you enough to defer to you when it comes to the content, while also giving their professional opinion, right? Because you're the author. Now, this is a good point of distinction, a good time to make this point of distinction. If you are traditionally publishing, your traditional publisher most of the time owns the rights, owns the intellectual property to your book, either indefinitely or for a, you know, predetermined period of time. So in that instance, working with a ghostwriter through that publisher, you may not have quite as much of a say in what is written. You're actually going to have to defer to the publishing house. Okay. But if you're hybrid publishing or self-publishing, you will have that ability to take ownership. And so I would look for somebody that understands your voice, can replicate your voice, that you actually enjoy working with, and that has a little bit of a history. Like if it's the first time they've ever ghostwritten a book, that's a little bit of a risk to take with them. It's doesn't mean it would be, you know, terrible, but I would get somebody who's written a handful of books and hopefully something in the genre that you are looking to write to in as well.
You know, the first book that I wrote was 20 years ago. I wrote this book about bird flu. And I was writing it in real time as it was happening and rolling through the news thing at the same time. It was called Fowl, F-O-W-L, Fowl, Bird Flu, It's Not What You Think. And I was compiling all of this massive information that was coming in and writing it. And in the middle of it, I got kind of lost. I wasn't even real sure what I was writing about anymore. And I printed everything out and I took it to my office and laid it out page by page on the floor until I could collate it together. And I hired an editor who did, he worked full time for a publishing house. And then, like you said, he had kind of a side gig. And so he'd pick up additional things. And he was fabulous. In fact, it's how I really learned how to, in my opinion, write well, was because I would put something together and I would be kind of proud of it. And I'd send it to Norm. And when he would send it back, I'd be like, holy cow. It was like sending him a raw piece of coal and he sent back a diamond. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's another, when you said about working back and forth. And I'll tell you, fast forward about 10 years later, I was working for another company and I had to write a really important article for an international publication. And so I had contacted, it had been several years since I'd worked with Norm, but I contacted him and asked him if he could please edit this for me, knowing how he could just make a diamond out of the rough. And he, I'm retired now. I don't do that. And we went back and forth and back and forth. And I was begging him to please, please, Norm, please look this over and tell me what you think. And finally, he kind of went, all right, you know, I'll do it. So I sent him the article. It was probably 1500 words, 1800 words, kind of that sort of length. And he sent it back to me in like 20 minutes. And he said, I am totally embarrassed. He said, I spent more time telling you why I didn't have time to edit this than it took me to edit it. He said, yeah. Your writing has really come a long way, which I credited fully to him because he had really taught me things. So I think that's another element to think about when you get a writer, you get an editor, somebody to work with, somebody that does it better than you. It's sort of like if you're taking tennis lessons, you want to take lessons from somebody that's better than you because they make a better tennis player. So, you know, I think that that's another thing for aspiring writers who are listening to this that can think about that. Talk to me a little bit about how you choose a publisher. How you choose between like totally self-publishing, sort of that blend or the blended model, or the real publishing house, like, you know, any of the big, like St. Martin's Press or any of those big publishing houses. If you are someone listening to this and you're an aspiring author, and maybe you've even got the manuscript done or mostly done, and you just need an editor, how do you decide if you want to self-publish or go with a big house? And what is a blended publisher? That's a bunch of questions all at once.
Sure.
They're all kind of connected.
Well, this is a great question. And I love this question because this is a question that most people have, you know, when they're starting out and they're not familiar with the book publishing world. So, you know, I alluded to it a few minutes ago, but there are essentially three categories of publishing houses. There's the official traditional publisher. And this person is going to actually own the property that you produce. And so they are going to own your book rights. They're likely going to own anything after that, meaning if you want to make a video course or you want to get a movie script or something else, they're going to own at least part of that. And so you have to be, in my opinion, a bit cautious when it comes to traditional publishing because everything, the ball is completely in their court. Whether they choose to get your book in Walmart and Target and get you on a major news network, or they sit on it and don't do anything, your hands are a little bit tied and there's not much that you can do. Okay. And they are going to have complete control over the editing process and what actually ends up in the final manuscript of the book. Now, the advantage of a traditional publisher is if you already have a huge audience and you just want somebody to take the burden off of your shoulders, you're busy running a brand or a business or a platform or something else, and you just want them to make it happen for you, oftentimes they can do that. Now, nowadays, things are a little bit interesting. It used to be that you would submit your manuscript to a bunch of different traditional book publishers, and you were sort of hoping to be chosen. And then if you were chosen, they would give you what was called an advance. They would give you an advance of a certain amount of money, and then you would start your writing process. And then you would, you know, work with their editors and their typesetters and their marketers and everything. And then they would take it from there. Well, that's mostly gone nowadays. The idea of getting an advance is very rare. It still happens for famous people. If you're a famous celebrity, an actor, or you have a massive following, it's still possible, but it's not common. Okay. And by the way, an advance is just that. It's an advance. You have to pay that money back, you know, through your book sales and your other product sales. So I will just say this, traditional publishing isn't for most people, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. For most people, you're going to be drawn to what's called self-publishing or hybrid publishing. Let's go ahead and drop down to self-publishing, which is my favorite, which is the idea of you owning complete control over your intellectual property, including your books, the editing process, the marketing process, anything you want to do after that, the products you create, the services you create, any other types of media that you want to create based on the stories that you tell. Now, the downside of self-publishing is it's self-publishing. You have to do all the work, you know, and then you have to find other people to help you. You've got to find a ghostwriter if you want one. You've got to find an editor. You've got to find a marketer. It's not the easiest path. But being entrepreneurial in nature and liking having control, you know, over my creative endeavors, that is the recommendation that I give. Now you can also entertain hybrid publishing, which hybrid publishing is sort of like self-publishing with a team to help you. Okay. Now you will see a lot of publishers out there that have, traditional publishing branding or names. Like they've got a website that makes them look like a traditional publisher, but really they're a hybrid publisher. They let you keep the rights to your book. You still get most of the creative control. And they're going to help you though. They're going to give you an editor, a marketer, a typesetter, a line reader. They're going to give you a team to work with you. And so that's a great opportunity for people that have a little bit of a budget to spend on their book project, to get a team to help you. And I'm trying to remember the exact question and how you phrased it earlier, but I will just say this. Even if you, regardless of whatever avenue you choose to publish your book, keep in mind that you, the author, are the primary marketer of your book. Okay, you really are. And so what you have to start thinking about is, after I get done with this book, how am I going to get the word out for this book? Now, I said earlier, the best to do that is to start actually having conversations with other people that are already have audiences. And then you're also going to want to start creating your own content, whether that's blogging, whether it's podcasting, starting a YouTube channel, starting a live show, like you've done, starting stuff on Rumble and other platforms that are a little bit more free, starting your own platform on your own website, you know, is becoming very popular as well. And so you are the marketer of your book. And so you've got to have a marketing plan in action to get that process rolling, even after your book is published.
Do the large public, you mentioned that the large publishing houses really don't offer advances anymore. I mean, it used to be that people would get hundreds of thousands of dollars in advance if they had a big audience and they had a really hot topic or really something. But it's been my experience, they don't even offer like $5,000-$10,000 anymore. And they used to do a big lift in terms of marketing. They used to sponsor book signings across the country that you could go across and sign all these things. I have one of my best friends has written 5 books, and her first 2 books that she wrote like 20 years ago were really hot topics, but they were number 1 and number 2 sell on Amazon for a long time. Mm-hmm. And she had, you know, a huge advance, and they really helped get her on like a Cosmo and all the women's magazines and all that sort of stuff. And she said, she told me, this was maybe 10 years ago, she said, they don't do any of that anymore. And so if they don't help with the marketing, if they sell your book for $30, you might get $1.20. If they don't give you advances anymore, why bother? Why even bother do anything with primary publishing?
That is a great question. And I don't think you're wrong in your assessment. That's been my experience as well. And that is the most common thing that I hear from authors that I work with is, I signed up with so-and-so, whether it was traditional or hybrid. They said they were going to do all of this for me, and they've done nothing for me. I haven't sold any books. I have no royalties. You know, I have no exposure. They told me there was going to be a PR team. There's no PR team. Like, nobody's calling me for interviews. There's nothing going on. The industry as a whole is shrinking. The traditional book publishing house is shrinking. Some of the bigger houses are eating up the smaller ones. And there's just not enough money to go around. One of the challenges that's actually happening from a practical standpoint from society is that younger people are reading less books, like physical books. The trend is going downward slightly for the reading of physical books, but it's going up when it comes to digital, I should say audiobooks, actually, is the is the category that's expanding, okay? And so that's why if you're going to publish nowadays, it's very, very wise to also do an audio version of your book and get that on Audible. Even me personally, even though I'm in the book world, I still listen to most of my books, 90% are audio, just because I'm an audio learner. And I love that. I love being able to listen at night when I'm going to bed, when I'm driving, when I'm walking, you know, whatever the case may be. I love, I kind of joke like, why read when you can have someone read to you, you know?
Yeah.
Which is kind of funny. So, but yes, the idea of the advance is fading. If you are a celebrity, there's probably a good chance you can get one, but it's a good way that you phrased it. It's, if they don't give you an advance, if they don't actually market your book, if they don't do all these things, then what's the point?
And they keep most of the money.
Yes. And so in to go even further with that, not only are they not giving you an advance most of the time now, they're charging you. They want you to pay them.
Oh, wow.
Okay. So it was not uncommon for the traditional publisher I worked with to charge $25,000 for an author to publish with them. And it could take up to 24 months to get your book out. Sometimes that did include a video course, sometimes it didn't. And so there is a big question mark there, which is why I love what I'm doing now, which is helping people understand how to take ownership over your creative endeavors. And the fact that it's becoming more and more accessible to build your own platform. And here you are today, Dr. Tenpenny, and you are building your own platform. Now, you may be doing this on your own. You might have a small team. I actually know that you have at least one or two people that work with you, but look at how accessible this is. You know, here we are recording this with software. We're in different locations. You've got a great website. You're on Rumble and X and all these different places. You have your own email list. You've got the ability to become your own network. And I think that that's the opportunity that I want people to take advantage of.
That's really great. And it's really true. So this is a good place to take a really quick break. We're going to take a short break here. Today, we're talking to Joseph Baker, the founder of Author Speaker Success. And you can find that at authorspeakersuccess.com. We're going to take a really quick break. There's more to come. We'll be right back. There are an awful lot of people that are affiliates for Mike Lindell because we all really appreciate what he does for this country. We appreciate the hard work that he does, and we appreciate his products. He has more than 200 products in his store, everything from pillowcases and comforters to doggy beds and to wonderful slippers and bathrobes. There's something for everybody and something for everybody in each age group. I mean, one of the things that I really like a lot are the pillowcases, the children's Bible story pillowcases that I just think are such a great way when you tuck your child into bed at night to use these pillowcases that they come from his store to start to tell the story about Adam and Eve and Noah and the Ark and different things. And they're colorful and they're really pretty. So from children all the way up to your gentlemen that want to have like nice slippers or to your dog, the doggy beds and things are just wonderful. So my pillow is a great place to shop for just about anything that you want. And if you use our affiliate code DRT, that helps us, that can benefit us, that helps Mike Lindell, and you'll get a great product for anybody that you're shopping for.
Well, welcome back, everyone. You know, Joseph, I think it's really true about, you know, from the big houses to the blended houses. But, you know, one of the other things that you didn't mention in that laundry list things that that you have to do is developing a good name and an important cover. And and so with the blended houses, that's something that they offer that really self-publishing doesn't. And how does your company distinguish between the blended type company and self-publishing? I mean, I know you do a lot to help people once you've got the product, once you've done the book, of how to get it out there, how to develop a podcast and a platform, get speaking gigs and get stuff, be invited on other radio shows. Do you actually help with the publishing from a blended perspective?
That's a great question. So officially, our program is sort of a coaching and guidance program first. Okay, so if you already have a book, whether you're self-published or traditional, and you come to us, what we will do is our team helps you understand the process to grow the platform around the message of your book. It's broken into three P's. There's publishing, there's products, and there's promotion. Okay, so we focus on all three of those. Now, to go specifically deeper to your question, though, if someone comes to us and they don't have a book yet, then yes, we can absolutely help you publish that book. Now, currently, we don't consider ourselves a publishing house officially, but we have people on our team that can fulfill those roles. I've got an executive editor on speed dial for you. I've got a ghost writer. I've got marketers. I'm a marketer myself. You know, we've got the ability to fly you to Texas to create some video courses, and we've done that, you know, and so we do have a team that does it, but really we're more of a media and promotion team that works with you to understand the process. And at the end of the day, while I'm willing to help you, you know, if you've got a budget and you want to do a course based around your book, great, let's do that. Or you want to build a website, you want me to build it? Sure. But ultimately, at the end of the day, what I love to do is hand you the keys back to the car that you're driving. That's my goal. If you need a tune-up, if you need me to do something cool with your car, great. But at the end of the day, I want to hand you back the keys so that you're fully empowered to continue that growth. Because again, at the end of the day, you as the author are the greatest marketer of your own work. And you need to become more and more comfortable in that role. And that's what we help people do.
That's really, really true. You know, nobody can sell you like you. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, people can make introductions for you. It's like somebody can open the door, but once you walk through the door, you've got to do the rest of the work. Mm-hmm. You've decided to move this into the Christian genre. Do you already have people that you're working with in that area, or is that something new that you're going to be building in your terms of your company, or maybe both?
Absolutely. Great question. So one of the great inspirations behind becoming more faith-based officially for our group was the fact that almost everybody already was. And so we realized that, hey, this actually just makes sense because these are our people. You know, it was a tribe that I was creating sort of without knowing it. And obviously being a believer myself, that's natural for me. And so I work with a variety of people that I would say that are Christians. It's not necessarily that their book falls into the Christian genre or a certain genre. It's that they are believers. They have a message to get out to the world. They might be a pastor who also wants to speak on leadership in the marketplace. They might be a mom who has developed a great curriculum and wants to share that with the world that she, you know, figured out by decades of homeschooling or as an educator. A great example, if you don't mind, that I'll show you is this is John Cale right here. This was one of the first authors that I worked with on my own after I had left the traditional book publisher. And you know, John, he's very successful in business. He actually bought and sold, built a few companies, did really well for himself. And then he had a heart for the lost. And so if you were to open this book, what you would find is a very accessible, low pressure presentation of the gospel that leads you through these questions that you're just asking yourself. And the idea is finding the answer. Like everybody that he would encounter in the world, in the marketplace, in corporate America, is looking for the meaning of life. They're looking for the answer. What's my purpose? Why am I here? Is there something more? And so he capitalized that and just walks you through a very low pressure process of asking yourself a set of questions. And then at the end, it presents in a very non-threatening way. It presents the gospel message to people. He has handed this to people on planes when he was traveling somewhere for work, and he would just meet someone on the plane and he'd feel led to give him a copy, say, hey, I'm an author. I just want to share a copy of my book. And he did that for one lady. They are flying for a few hours and then they get off the plane. She comes running up to him and finds him in the airport and says, John, and she's crying. She says, thank you so much for this book. She said, this is just opening my eyes to things that I've never even thought about. She read the whole thing on the plane. It's not a big book, right? You can get through it in about an hour. And so she actually went through the thing, was asking herself, was being exposed to Jesus for the first time and was weeping and saying, can I get a copy of this for my friend and et cetera. The other great thing that we did is throughout the book, there's a series of QR codes. And when you go to the QR codes, they go to these professionally produced videos that we actually filmed here in Dallas, Texas. And it's the author himself, John Cale, explaining and expounding upon these sections of the book and drawing you in with some personal stories and little 5-10 minute videos that are throughout the book. And so that's another great use of media, you know, that we encourage people to do. And so this is an example of the type of person I work with, right? So John is somebody who's in business. He's been a pastor in the past, but he has a heart for the lost. And so he's using his influence, his ability to create media, his ability to write, his ability to speak, to make an impact in the world.
Wow, that's really cool. And to say that, you know, that's another kind of new thing in books, just in general, is the addition of QR codes that take you kind of like if you're walking at a website and you click on something and say you're going off to a different website. Well, this is a different way to get you involved in all the different things. So it makes a print book a multimedia object. And it's not just a bunch of words. I wanted to ask you about the audiobooks. Because we were talking about with the Walking with God book that I've done, and also this new book that will be coming out in a couple of weeks. It's called Zero Accountability in a Failed System. Zero Accountability in a Failed System: How Big Pharma Weaponizes Vaccines, Public Health, and the Law. And, you know, because I do so much speaking and on podcasts and things like that, people recognize my voice. And it's so funny because sometimes I kind of try to be incognito and people will recognize my voice. Like I'll be at a conference and people may have never met me, but they overhear me talking. They go, it's Dr. Tenpenny, because they recognize me. So we had done some investigations into audiobooks. And they had talked about the type of equipment and that it's there's a lot more to it in terms of addiction and not clearing your voice and making it. And we read the criteria on Audible to get Audible books on Audible, and it's pretty rigorous. Do you have any suggestions for anybody who might be at that point and thinking about an Audible book, maybe for children or something like that, that you've written? What advice would you give about audiobooks?
Yeah, that's a great question. So with audiobooks, it is definitely a niche or a specialty when it comes to the production side of that, you know, of that world. And so if you already happen to be an audio producer, there might be, you know, a few of you out there, then you might be able to do it yourself. You know, I recently produced an audiobook for a colleague of mine just because I know him and I happen to have the equipment to do it, but most people don't, you know? And so it's actually a really good idea to hire an actual audiobook producer, somebody that has the equipment, has a space, and has the expertise to do the editing that's required, because there are quite a few nuances. There's a few things to be mindful of as you're recording, but also in the editing process. And yes, platforms like Audible are going to be very particular about the listening experience. Really, it has to do with the consumer. They want to know that at the end of the day, the person who is clicking on that Audible, that they're going to get a certain level of quality. Okay, and that's understandable to a certain point. And so what I would say is things to look out for are you ready to invest in the gear and in the learning process in order to produce your own audiobook? And then you have to juxtapose that to the, you know, to the idea of maybe hiring a producer locally that might already have all the gear. They can guide you through the process. And then the other thing is I would set aside some time. It's not as simple as, well, this is about 3 hours of content, so it's going to take me 3 hours. It's going to take several hours more than that, because they're starting, they're stopping, your voice might get tired, you're going to need a drink of water, you're going to need to rest your voice, you're going to need to be coherent enough to be reading while you're talking, while you're paying attention to the producer who may want you to pause. There's just a lot of factors at play. You know, what time of the day are you recording? People's voices sound different in the morning than they do in the evening. You know, you can't go coach a soccer game on Friday night and then show up Saturday morning to record your audiobook. That's not going to work well, you know, or go to a concert and screaming, you know, the night before and think that you're going to show up ready. And so I would say working with an audiobook producer is probably the best thing that you can do. And I actually have somebody in my ecosystem that does that. And we have some training videos on that actually within our program. So,
you know, what I think is for somebody who's listening to this and they're going, well, I'm not going to write a book, or I'm not going to record an audiobook. Why is this taking up my time? I think it's really important for my audience and for my listeners and watchers to know all the work that goes into the product that you may hold in your hand as a book, or that you may listen to online. I mean, even the courses that we do at Learning for You, all of those, I had a professional audio tech that did that, because you don't realize until, like, when I went out to try to interview audio techs, what they asked me to do in terms of was I recorded maybe a minute and a half of just talking, and then they cleaned it up and sent it back to me. And it was like, wow, I didn't realize I sounded that bad. You know, with little things that you don't even realize, like little clicks, a little like lip smacking, little tiny little noises that just in a normal conversation, you don't even notice it because just normal conversation. But if you're listening into it on like Audible or Kindle, a Kindle audio or something like that, you notice it. So I'm telling you, the listener, the people that are watching this, is about appreciation of what's going on behind the scenes to deliver you a book. Like all the editorial process that has to go on, and the editing that goes back and forth, that when you actually get a book in your hand that you've had to pay, it's anywhere from $15 to $30 for, all of the work that went behind that, and that most of that $30 does not go into the pocket of the author. There's a whole team to pay, you have to pay printing costs, and it's, and it goes on and on and on. The same thing that you're talking about with Audible. And I say that also, I'll also put a little pitch in here about websites and listening to podcasts and things like that, because people are like, well, why should I have to pay for that? Well, because there's a lot of work. I mean, even when we pre-record our podcast, it goes into post-production. They clean things up. They have to add things in, take stuff out. Sometimes for some of the platforms we have, they have limited time. And so sometimes they have to compress the audio file a little bit to make it fit on like His Glory and places that we play. So it's a way for you as the audience to know that when you go out and you watch a podcast, that unless it's just a couple of guys just sitting there just yakking, and it's a little higher quality to it, and there's commercials and there's all sorts of things, there's a whole team, a whole thing behind the business of writing audiobooks, podcasting, all of these different things. It's, and when you go to a seminar and you just see people walk out on the stage and give their talk and walk off and the next one, that whole thing, there's a whole 30 or 40 people behind that, making the lights, the audio, the timing, keeping people on time, keeping people behind the scenes quiet. There's an entire whole company behind that to make the experience for you as the reader, the listener, the participant in the seminar. It's a whole different thing. And so when you're thinking about purchasing something, whether it's a book or an audio tape, or you're going to pay money to go to a conference, and the conference also has lunch or dinner, there's all those additional costs, please keep that in mind and be prayerful about it, and to be able to say, wow, you know, I'm going and there's all of this stuff, and it's a 4-day conference and it's only $300 as opposed to going, oh my gosh, it's $300. And oh my gosh, they're just ripping people off and just taking all of our money. It's a whole different thing when you're on the production side. And I know you know that really well from not only being inside the industry, but having your own company. What would you like? Do you think I'm on target about that?
No, I think you are. And to add to what you're saying, not only is it great for perspective for people, the data suggests that 80% of Americans have at least thought about writing a book. They really have. So that's a huge percentage. You know, most people have a message inside of them. My friend Jerry, who I mentioned earlier, who's my executive editor, he says, you've got a book inside of you. You know, that's like kind of his line, you know, when we're at conferences and stuff like that. And it's true. You do have a book inside of you. You have a story to tell. You have something unique. You know, we know that our fingerprints are unique, that there's no two fingerprints alike. There are no two voices alike, by the way. There's actual DNA involved in the formation of our voices. And so it's a beautiful thing when you are able to get that message out to the world. And I wanted to, if it's okay, mention the Bible verse that I sort of prepared for this show, because I think it ties exactly into what we're talking about right now, which is Matthew chapter 5, verse 14 through 16, which says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. So let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And if I could focus on that last part there for a second, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Now, something we can be a little bit timid about as believers is because we do respect God's call for humility. That's a real thing, and we want to stay humble. But the reality is you don't want to put your light under a basket, okay? Dr. Tenpenny, you are a talented, experienced leader, and you could just sit there in your living room and you could enjoy your wisdom and knowledge and say, wow, isn't it wonderful that I know so much about XYZ, right? And you could have a little bit of joy, and maybe you just share it with your family or your close friends, or you could build a platform to help get the message out to the world, still with the humility of Christ, but with the understanding that people actually need to see your good works in order to understand them, to respect them, to learn from them. They need to see them. And at the end of the day, you're going to turn that glory around and you're going to give the glory to God. Okay. And so that's what I love to help people and authors, especially in the Christian world, obviously understand is, hey, you have a message inside of you. You have a book in you. It's time to get your message out into the world. I do believe and feel and sense a sense of urgency in this time in history and this time in the world with all that's going on. And I say, hey, if you have a message that's burning inside of you, it's time. It's time to get that out there. And it's time to get out there for the people around you, for strangers you'll never meet, and to leave a legacy for future generations.
Absolutely. Beautifully said. And I was, you stole the words right out of my mouth. I was the next thing I was going to say, you prepared a verse for us because we asked all of our guests to do that. So that was really, really good. Well, good. Joseph, this has been really inspiring for me. And I'm sure that for our listeners too, from a bunch of different perspectives of, like you said, 80% of people have a book that they want to write. And so maybe this will encourage a few people to move forward. And if they are ready to move forward or they're almost done, how do they get hold of you and your company? How do they connect with you so that you can help take them to the next level?
Well, it's very simple. We built a website. It's authorspeakersuccess.com. And you know, the cool thing about that website is right on the front, right when you land on it, there's a 25-minute webinar that's right there on the front page. And it really goes into detail of some of the things that I've talked about. I mentioned briefly the three Ps, the publishing process, the products that you create, and then how to promote your products and your books. And so I would just encourage people, visit the website and watch the webinar. It's right there. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything, and it gives you some great context on that process in which to get your message out to the world. So authorspeakersuccess.com.
And I will further that little promo there for you, because as you know, when I put together the podcast, I spend about 5 hours putting together all of the background on people for my podcast for the whole week. And I watched that whole webinar, and it's actually very good. It's actually a very good webinar. So if people are on the fence of whether or not they want to go through with this. And I will say that when you commit to writing a book, it is a big commitment. It's you're giving birth. And you know, this book that's come, my zero accountability that's coming out, I feel like I'm 10 months pregnant. You know, it's like, I mean, it needs to be born already. You know, it's been chomping at the bit, but it is a big commitment. And it takes a lot of time. So it's not something that you just do once in a while or maybe on the weekends. So if you have a message that you really want to get out, something about the Lord, something about how the Lord blessed you or about a trial that you went through that you think will be inspirational to other people or whatever your story is, maybe how to put a worm on a fishing hook, something, anything can be a story that can be inspirational to somebody. You know, this is a great place to start. We hope you were inspirational for this today. So thank you so much for being here with us, Joseph. As we're closing out in our last couple of minutes here today, would you like to lead us in a word of prayer as we close time together? It would be great.
Absolutely. That sounds great. God, we come before you today for all who are listening or watching this episode. We just pray for your peace over them and for your inspiration. We thank you that you've created each one of us uniquely with gifts and skills and words to be shared with the world. We know that the power of the word is something that we pay attention to every single day. First and foremost, the words of Christ, the words of God. And then also we receive inspiration from you, God, and we want to put those into media that can be actually inspiring for generations to come. And so we just ask for your blessing, your guidance, empower us and give us energy to take the message that you've put in our hearts out into the world to have the greatest impact possible. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. And good luck to you and God bless you for making the decision to really help Christian authors and writers that go forward. Because like I said, it's a challenging genre to break into. So it's really good to have somebody on their team. So with that, I want to thank you again, Joseph, so much for being here with us today. This has been really inspirational for me, and I'm sure for many other people that are listening. And I'm sure that we can go to your website and watch that video. And I want to thank all of our Tenpenny Prime members, all of you that have become Prime members, and all of you that are going to become Prime members. I really want to thank you so much. Go to shoptenpenny.net and click on the membership tab. Read all about what the membership involves, and I hope that you will be there to support us. And with that, I want to close out with one of my favorite verses from the Bible. I close all my podcasts with, whether they are live or pre-recorded, which is Romans 12:12. Rejoice in hope, be patient in trouble, and be persistent in prayer. So until we meet again here, same place, same time, next week, 11 a.m., all of our podcasts are broadcast at 11 a.m. Eastern time, Monday through Friday. So until we meet again, we'll see you back here the same place, same time. Lean into God. Trust him for everything. He will never let you down. Again, Joseph, thank you again so much for being here. And for everyone else, have a good week, everybody. Goodbye and God bless.
In a time when truth is censored, one name stands out. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, the relentless seeker of knowledge and defender of freedom. Explore groundbreaking findings at drtenpenny.com. Ignite your mind with riveting podcasts, explosive articles, research-driven substacks, webinars, ebooks, and more. In an era plagued by environmental toxins and vaccine-related exposures, Dr. Tenpenny has expertly crafted a selection of safe detox protocols that facilitate profound healing at a cellular level. It's time to cleanse, rejuvenate, and restore your body vitality. With heart damage on the rise, Dr. Tenpenny introduces nationwide ECP therapy to repair hearts and achieve optimal health. Seize the opportunity and embrace the wealth of resources, information, and health recommendations awaiting you at drtenpenny.com and become a Tenpenny podcast member to join our mission in the quest for uncensored truth, the health of our nation, and medical freedom.